words, that that's really what brings life. And it is with that that I'm going to ask Craig to come up. And Craig, I'm just going to ask you, we're not going to be redundant, so I'll ask you something different this time. But if you'll come up and share about your ministry in prison.
Okay.
You've been going to prison a lot lately.
Yes, I have.
But the wonderful thing about this prison ministry is it has caused you to grow. Hasn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
How would you say it has caused you to grow?
Well, it's been a lot of growing pains. It's helped me discover a lot of things about myself that I didn't like. Just the nature of growth, I guess, that things in my life that needed to change. And as I mentioned earlier about the anger, I didn't think there was an anger in me. You know, I started teaching a class on anger, and I realized there's a little bit, just a little bit.
Now, when you've ministered to different ones, I'm sure you've come across some testimonies that have really touched your heart. Is there any in particular that just stand out to you?
Well, the first night that I went to prison, I went out with a fellow named Tyrone. And my mom, and I shared this with my mom, and she jokingly said, it's almost like a setup. It was just so perfect. But Tyrone was doing a life plus 8 years. And, you know, he had told God, I can do 8 years. I can't do life. And he wasn't saved at the time, and he worked with a fella, and they were bunk mates, which means they slept next to each other, and they ate breakfast together, they went to work together, ate lunch, went to work, ate dinner, hung out for a year, and all this other fella did was talk about Jesus Christ. And at one point, finally, Tyrone accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. That day, unbeknownst to Tyrone, his wife, who'd been using crack cocaine for 17 years, quit like that. Just, and her words was, God slapped the taste of it out of her mouth. But
wow.
She stopped immediately. And then the man commenced to tell Tyrone that he was a legal clerk. Tyrone immediately got mad and said, why didn't you tell me that first? And he said, you needed Jesus. And he looked at his file, and he had been incorrectly sentenced. And he looked at the file. He said, you're going to do 8 years and get out. And he appealed. The life sentence was overturned, and he got out. Fast forward to today, Tyrone's out. He owns a home in Arlington. He has a job. He has a part-time job. He's married to the woman who had all his kids with. All the kids are living there. They're all going to church. They're all giving God the glory. They're outstanding people. Mary's met them. They're just good people. They're genuine. The day I met him, he was talking about he cuts grass at one of the country clubs. I don't remember which one. And he got a new job, and the boss was telling him how to cut the grass. Well, the other guy he was talking to also cuts grass, and he said, well, did you tell him he was wrong? He said, no, sir, I didn't. Yeah. Well, why didn't you tell him? He's the boss. And it wasn't that so much that he was willing to do it, but there's that servant's heart in him that really blessed me. And he's been kind of like the poster child for a while. And it was also his first day back at prison, because he had got out. He has to do 5 years before they can go back, and he had served his 5 years. So it was his first day back. And it's my first day to go to prison. So that one, I think, made the most impression on me, that God can take literally a life that the state of Florida, and I love Florida, but the state of Florida literally thrown them away. Well, here's life plus 8 years. Goodbye. We never want to see you again. And God says, I think you can turn that around. And so that one impressed me the most. But there's
the power of God behind the bars.
Exactly.
And I think we limit him in many of the details of our life, but clearly, as you see in prison, you go, well, what hope is there? Or how can this person change? Or how can good come out of this? Mm-hmm. And you've seen good come out of it so
time
many
and time
times.
And time again. I don't know, maybe because it's darker spiritually, these things are more illuminated, if you would. There's more light to be seen, but it just all the time. It's just
one of the reasons I wanted to bring you up front, just to let people know that he's in prison ministry. And if you ever have issues, or you know of people that are in prison that you would like for
us to contact, we'd be happy to.
He's already fingerprinted.
Yeah.
So they'll actually let him in. So.
They will. I've got a number. I actually do. And when I go and I put my number in, and they do a hand scan, and it's pretty exciting.
But we're so thankful for your ministry. Well, thank you, Kurt.
Yeah, thank you
very much. There's a passage in Acts that I would like for you to turn to with me, Acts chapter 9, if you would.
Yes.
It is a time in which the Lord had called Peter to go to a place that I think he was apprehensive about going to. And yet the Lord was doing some marvelous directing in his life. From one miraculous event now to another, God begins to lead Peter exactly where he wants him to be. We pick up in Acts chapter 9 and verse 36, and we read this. Now in Joppa there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which translated in Greek is called Dorcas, which actually means gazelle. Wonder why she had or was given that name. Well, I think the text tells us this woman was abounding in deeds of kindness. So kind of tells us how she got the name. And charity, which she continually did. It came about that at that time she fell sick and died. Well, that's pretty abrupt, isn't it? Here's this woman that is so dearly loved. She gets sick. I can think of a whole lot of people that deserve to be sick. But when a good person gets sick, that just doesn't seem right, does it? Well, it says she got sick and died. And when they had washed her body, they laid it in an upper room. Now, since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, having heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him, entreating him, "Don't delay, come to us." And Peter rose and went with them. And when he had come, they brought him into the upper room, and all the widows stood beside him weeping, showing all their tunics and garments that Dorcas used to make while she was with them. The kindness, here's the kindness of Tabitha. What she's done for me. Look at what she made. She made this for me. You can just see the testimonies of how this woman had touched their lives. Peter sent them all out, and he knelt down and he prayed. And he turned to the body and he said, "Tabitha, arise." She opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. She gave her his hand and raised her up, and calling the saints and the widows, he presented her alive. It became known over all Joppa. Watch verse 42. And what was the result? And many believed in the Lord. You know, if that was an old, mean person, nobody would have ever cared. Nobody would have ever gathered. And nobody would have ever cried. But because it was a woman that actually cared for people, God would use this woman to break many hearts so that people would come to himself. And if you think about it, God was actually just granting Tabitha exactly what she wanted. She wanted goodness to come to people. And the greatest goodness did come to them. The goodness of Jesus Christ. The Lord has blessed us. He has allowed Michelle to be fine. And it was the graciousness of the Lord. But I was noticing how so many of us were stirred because she was feeling bad. And, you know, if there's ever a Tabitha in your midst, she was one. She is one. And God has really used her in so many ways. She is just such a gracious person. I'm just so thankful for Michelle. And here she got the sickness, and we didn't know what it was. And they didn't know what it was. They do the spinal tap, and she's in more pain than she ever was. And the first thought in your head is, why in the world is this poor girl in pain? Of all people, she doesn't deserve to be there. God was using her. He was using her to unite us, and he was using her in that hospital to bring a nurse to the Lord. And that night I got a text from Josh. I think it was 1:45 in the morning. The nurse has just received the Lord. And I talked with Michelle, and she was in pain, and she's talking to me, and she's in pain, and she's crying, she was telling me, I just have so much to be thankful for. That's all she had to say. So, the Lord uses those that are His, and He doesn't make mistakes. He is rescuing people, and He did exactly what Michelle wanted Him to do: rescued a soul. The Lord uses us as we just give our lives to Him. Father, we give you thanks for opportunities all around us, and we give you thanks for those that you have ordained to do great work. We thank you for hearts that are wholly yours and how you make no mistakes in and through their lives. We give you thanks for your compassion to us and rescuing this life that has meant so much to us. In Jesus' name, amen.